Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies. It's exciting to be doing another podcast. And today, our guests are Jessica and Kathleen Novello. We're going to be talking about raising daughters. I actually have two daughters, so I think this is going to be a great conversation. So ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So, Kathleen, you have been associated with the Classical Academies for how long?
A very long time. I am the mom of four daughters. My two younger daughters went to the Classical Academies from kindergarten all the way through high school graduation.
Beautiful.
And it was a wonderful thing. I would go back and do it all again if I could.
Exactly. We had a good time.
We did.
Lots of fun. And so, Jessica, I remember meeting you actually because your mother called and said, have you met the other daughter you've not met before?
I'm the other daughter. Yes, that's me. Hi, I'm Jessica.
Exactly. So Jessica, you've been with the Classical Academies for a couple of years now.
I have.
And what is your role with us?
I am the social emotional school counselor at Coastal Academy High School, which it's so
awesome.
It's so fun to be a part of the organization because I wasn't a student here, but the building that we're in is the same building that my little sisters were in from, I think, did they move in first grade? Is that when
yes.
that building was opened?
First grade is when, when
that's
that
true.
Opened.
Yeah, back in 2003.
Yeah, so it's a physical space that feels very familiar to me, but it's fun to be on the other side now.
That's awesome. Well, I love our topic today. We're going to talk about our daughters. So what are some of the most common issues young women face during the development? And how can I, as a parent of my child, get them through this?
Off the top of my head, I would say social media pressures these days, especially for girls. Body image.
What you're supposed to look like.
Exactly.
What you're supposed
to wear. The perfect life, quote unquote.
What is that exactly?
Yeah, I think that body image is a really big one, and it kind of goes hand in hand with social media. And so on social media, we're able to see this highlighted version of somebody's life that we're comparing ourselves to, but also there's all of these filters. There's apps that let us change the shape of our body before we post a picture. And so we have these young girls who are learning about what their bodies should look like from these images that aren't even real, that
aren't even
truthful.
Exactly.
And there's this great documentary called Misrepresentation that talks a lot about how the images that young women are seeing in media and marketing are not even real images. Everything's so retouched. Everything's spliced together. You know, maybe your arm looked good in this picture, but your nose didn't. And so your nose and your arm are from two completely separate photos. And, you know, but that's what we're seeing. And that's what we're learning about what our bodies should look like. And then what would you say the third one is, Mom?
Oh, I would say cyberbullying.
Okay.
Because, you know, nowadays you can take your anger out on someone else and you can be completely anonymous doing so. So a lot of our girls, I think, are getting bullied on the internet. It's different than maybe the old days, you know, someone makes a comment about you as you pass by them in the hall. But now... it can be completely anonymous on the internet, and not only it's not one-on-one at all. You know, it's someone sees a criticism or a dig on someone else, and then you have a whole crowd jumping on. Exactly.
Makes it even worse.
And we do see bullying as being a big problem with our younger females, and you know, with our younger males, it tends to be more of like a physical thing or like an in-person thing. But I do think that most of the bullying that happens between females is more relational and tends to take place on the internet, which again, like my mom said, you know, is that cyberbullying piece. It's so anonymous. You can't really trace it. It's so hard. But because so much of our kids' lives is happening on the internet, is happening in these apps, it feels like their whole world is crashing down.
So, Kathleen, we've touched on a couple of these issues already. So do you have some advice in those areas when it comes to, you know, bullying or your daughter's body image, things like that?
Yeah, well, nowadays, even preschool girls are starting to, you know, say, am I fat? Making comments mm-hmm. about being fat. I have a 3-year-old granddaughter who one day, what did Belina say?
She looked in the mirror and called herself fat. She's three wow. years old. That's not even a word that should be in her vernacular.
Exactly. And also within, with girls, fat talk can often be contagious. Mm-hmm. One girl will say, oh my gosh, I look so fat today. And her friend will say, oh, you look great. I'm the one who looks really pudgy in these jeans. And more girls will join in.
It's
so,
just a cascading effect mm-hmm. exactly. of negativity.
It's, yeah, it is. It's actually a way of bonding, but in not a real healthy way.
A very backwards way of yeah. bonding, yeah.
Yes. I think that we have to be careful as moms about our own references mm-hmm. to our own bodies. How do I refer to my own body? Do I refer to myself as being good or bad because of what I ate or whether or not I exercised? Mm. I think that family dinners are a great thing to model just healthy eating experiences yes. together, that we eat foods for health reasons. It would be great to engage the family in activities together, not because we need to lose weight, but because this is healthy and this mm-hmm. is fun. Mm-hmm. So I think we really have to just look and say, what am I modeling to my kids as far as my own attitudes
right.
towards the foods I eat? My exercise,
the clothes you wear,
yeah,
right.
What I look like. Like, let's change that narrative to more how I feel, not how I look all the time.
Totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. I think there's a big push in the culture right now, too. It's about being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really how you look, what you wear, but, you know, there's some national spokespeople that are coming around the whole idea of it's not really how I look, it's how do I feel? Mm-hmm. And am I eating healthy? Am mm-hmm. I living a healthy life?
Right.
And then you're right. What are we saying to our children that are those negative, probably inappropriate mm-hmm. terms for ourselves?
Well, and I know I've been guilty of it myself. It's just something that you have to be conscious of because mm-hmm. it's easy to do and, you know, just mindlessly.
Exactly. Exactly. So, mm-hmm. It comes back to, I think, really just having a healthy self-image of yourself, mm-hmm. you know,
having that healthy, strong sense of self where, you know, you aren't as focused on the tag that's on the inside of your pants, knowing mm-hmm. what those numbers are, but understanding that health looks so different for everyone. And maybe your healthy is different than somebody else's healthy, and that's absolutely okay. But it's a lot about like how you feel versus how you look or what your pant size is or, mm-hmm. you know, whether something fits you or doesn't fit you.
So how do we navigate between empowering our daughters and helping actually mold their character?
Well, I think empowering our daughters starts with embracing who they really are, not who we want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Before mm-hmm. I had children, I thought that it was a formula. If you do A and you do B, out pops C.
And then, I really disrupted that. I really ruined that, Cameron.
She said, let me take a look at this.
Yeah, I was like,
up.
I hear your plan, Mom, but let me just tell you I know better. So,
yes, I, as a child, was fairly compliant, very bookish, and I was absolutely horse crazy. And I thought, I'm going to have children just like that, and we're going to have the best time together.
It's going to be awesome.
Reading and riding horses. And I have the most wonderful daughters in the world, as far, no bias there.
Heavens
no. But none of them are exactly like me. Funny how that happens. But I think we need to really embrace their individual strengths, accept their weaknesses, help them engage in the things that they have interest in, and just embrace their uniqueness. Like I said, don't try to make them into somebody that you want them to be.
And being intentional about reminding mm-hmm. them about who they are,
yes.
and the value they
mm-hmm.
bring,
absolutely.
And their individual strengths.
Mm-hmm.
I know having two daughters who are absolutely two separate individuals, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And they each have different characteristics. And there is, you know, sometimes there's comparison going on between the two of them. And mm-hmm. it's really great as a parent to step back and go, you do this well.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you were designed and created. And this is awesome. This mm-hmm. is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think that's one thing my parents did incredibly well growing up was allowing us girls, especially, to be individuals and then supporting us in that. You know, so Camille, this my younger sister, is... she was crazy about soccer all growing up, played mm-hmm. soccer. So my parents were at her soccer games and they invested in soccer for her. That was something that was prioritized for her. I quit soccer after like 3 weeks because it was too much running. And
are you sure it was that long?
Wow.
It's 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Probably wasn't. But then I quit because that was not my jam. That was not something sure. I enjoyed at all. But I loved theater. I loved performing. I loved singing. I loved doing a lot of other things that weren't soccer. And so if my parents had made me stick with soccer because that's just what we do or that's just the sport that we play, I would have been miserable.
Absolutely.
And so you empowered me to be an individual mom, but you still, I mean, you guided me in making me stick with things. You made me participate in things. It wasn't just that I didn't like that, so I didn't have to do anything. I had to figure out what I was going to do with my time, what sport I was going to play, what activity I was going to be a part of, because that was part of what was the norm in our family was, okay, you have to be invested in something.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that's really important in empowering our daughters, I believe, is not our job is not to keep our daughters happy and fix everything
Absolutely.
For them. And, you know, when they're small, they're hungry, they fell down, they skinned their knee. We can mm-hmm. make it all better. We can fix the little problems that they have. But as they mature, their problems become more complicated. And we can tend to still stay in that fix-it mode. And even now, with my daughters grown all four adults now, sometimes I still have that knee-jerk reaction to, like, wanting to fix it, but I can't anymore.
Right.
That's a source of frustration for me. But
Why won't they listen? I mean, come on.
No, but even also, even if they would listen, like, their problems are not in my arena anymore where mm-hmm. I can fix them anymore, whether it's in their employment or a relationship that they have. Like, I don't have any power anymore to make it all better.
Right. And sometimes what we need to do as parents is we need to be invited into those conversations.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And not just go, here's what you need to know and I need to tell you this.
Totally.
And I have discovered as a parent is the fact that I think when our kids were elementary age, we were physically tired because they were had so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they've moved into the adult arena, you are emotionally tired
mm-hmm.
because they're dealing with things and you'd like to get involved. You'd like to give some advice and we really have to hold our tongues.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important, like you said, Cameron, to be invited into some of that because I'll just speak from experience. Like sometimes I just want to vent or sometimes mm-hmm. I just want
right.
to share about what's hard. I don't need it fixed. I don't need a solution. I already know what I need to do mm-hmm. or I already have my plan of attack, but I just want to talk about how I feel about a situation or how something
totally.
Impacted me without without it being a thing like, okay, well, here's the solution now, or here's how to fix it. Just allowing me that time and that mm-hmm. space to be like, this is hard and here's why.
Right. Sometimes we just, as females, need to process
mm-hmm.
and process and process. And that's where the real comfort and sometimes the solutions come in while we're
processing.
And I totally
remember when Barb told me one day early on in our marriage, she said, you like to fix things.
Right.
But Cameron, frankly, I just need you to listen.
Yeah.
And it's the venting piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, I need to share with you what's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a solution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And allowing them to grapple with whatever it is they're going through allows them to develop those coping mechanisms
mm-hmm.
that they need throughout the course of their life as they go through situations. And when we swoop in and try to fix things for them, we're saying to them, you're not capable of doing this.
Right.
I can do this better than
mm-hmm.
you.
Exactly.
So if we allow them to grapple with it, we can be in the background if they need our advice.
Mm-hmm.
We're there. But that will give them the confidence they need. We believe in them. They can handle it.
So where is the balance between having a daughter and actually being their friend?
Well, when they're young, you're mostly the parent, but it's an ongoing balancing act, I think, as they grow up and as they mature, hopefully and ideally, you do become more friends. But underlying that,
mm-hmm.
you're always the mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a great deal of fun with my girls. They are the most fun people on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. But at the end of the day, I'm always their mom. And if there's a hard truth they need to hear, I'm going to say it. I'm going to risk them
mm-hmm.
Being angry with me if
sure.
I say something I don't think that they want to hear, but I feel as their mom they need
mm-hmm.
to hear. And as their mom, I have to be willing to take that risk. I don't want to just be their friend and mm-hmm. just say what they want to hear. I'm their mom. There's a sense of security when you know that at the end of the day, you're the daughter mm-hmm. and your mother is the mother.
That sense of security is so crucial, like having the boundaries clearly defined, the roles clearly defined. So I always knew I was the kid, like, and I had to be respectful of my parents. And that was the value system we were raised in. And I always knew my parents were my parents and they right. were the authorities over me. But as I've gotten older, I've developed, like my mom said, I feel like we have a great friendship, but I still know that my mom is my mom. And if I need to hear something or be reminded of something, or if I am acting in a way that is not consistent with who we are as a family and our value system, that's going to be said to me. And it doesn't always go well. Like, it's not always warm and received and please, yes, critique me, mother. But right. I think it's important that our parents still have that that invitation into our lives to help be our parent as we're growing and we need less of a let me do things for you and more of a let me help shepherd you and guide you into being a healthy, functional adult.
Love that. Love that. So if you'd like to do something over, what moment would you choose that you would actually do differently and why?
You know, I'm not really sure that I can think of an exact moment.
It was Christmas of 1982.
My sisters and I can. No, I'm joking.
I do kind of have a situation that I wish that I knew more about that would have helped me help my daughter. Mm-hmm. Jessica, do you want to talk about
this? Yeah. So I really struggled with my body image and weight for a very long time. And I think that now that I've gotten older and have more of an understanding of what was going on and have better words to describe how okay. I was feeling,
sure.
There was a lot more I probably could have shared with my mom, but I think I was pretty like physically unhealthy for a while, but also in that like emotionally unhealthy. And it was mm-hmm. very much rooted in body image and struggling with self-worth and value. And
I wanted to help her because I could tell that she was unhappy with herself, but I didn't know how. And some of the ways I tried to help her probably weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that there was more of a mental component or an emotional component
okay.
going along with it. And I was just more like dialed into the physical.
What I think now, and obviously I can't go back and diagnose myself, but now that I have a better understanding of these different mental health diagnoses and signs and symptoms, I think I was really struggling with undiagnosed depression, especially my junior and senior year. And it was manifesting in school avoidance. I have always been an academic achiever. Like school has never been hard for me, but I was failing classes that I shouldn't have. I was getting D's in classes that I shouldn't have. I was withdrawing from friends. And a lot of it too was around body image mm-hmm. concerns. And so I knew that my parents wanted to be helpful, but for me being helpful wasn't solving the problem of my weight. I could have my physical issue could have been remedied, but there was still such an underlying brokenness that I don't think I knew how to describe or how to ask for help in.
Okay.
I mean, gosh, there's a whole lot I would go back and tell my younger self if I could, but
wouldn't we all?
Oh, seriously. But I think one of the things that I can see when I look back on myself is so many of the pieces that make myself me and my personality were still there in that Jess. Mm-hmm. It just was a matter of learning how to make peace with my body. And learning how to be appreciative for what my body can do and not trying to have it be what maybe the world is telling me it needs to be. And so for me, getting healthy, while it did mean losing a chunk of weight, also became about learning to be appreciative for like, okay, I can physically do this. My body affords me the opportunity to do this, or I'm grateful that I can go on a hike and I can do things like this. Mm-hmm. And so it was less about, I need my body to look like that woman that I see in the magazine, and more about appreciating who I am physically and what it allows me to do.
Well, one of the things I want to touch on, I actually made myself a note this morning, was when it comes to this topic, dad, let me talk to dad right now. Do not comment on what your daughter's eating at the table. Don't do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, dad, don't make flippant or silly comments about what your daughter's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Such a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I made that mistake early on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I mean, Barb pulled me aside and said, this is not healthy humor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
mm-hmm.
do that. Your daughters will take this so personally. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Dad, you need to really move into a place of really supporting your wife, really supporting the girls. But when it comes to some of these things, they are triggering for young ladies.
Oh, absolutely.
And when
we
they hear you making comments about portions on their plates and what they're eating or not eating, I mean, stay away from all of that. Stay
away from all of that. No good can come from that, Dad.
No,
oh, absolutely.
No.
And what it does is it creates shame. And then we know that nothing positive is coming from shame. And so, you know, as a daughter, I do not have a daughter of my own, but as a daughter, I can say that some of the more flippant comments that were made are the ones that I remember probably more than any of the beneficial or encouraging things that were said. Those are the things that have stuck with me, that have been the narrative in my head, which were probably never intended to be hurtful. Like you said, you know, some off the cuff humor that does not land. And those are the things that even, you know, as a 32-year-old woman, like those are the things I look at my body and I remember those comments. And then I have to be like, okay, that's not healthy. Like, I can't focus on those things.
Well, and what I remember is the fact that that famous quote from Maya Angelou was the fact that people aren't going to remember what you said, but they're going to remember how you made them feel. And mom and dads, if you're making your children feel a certain way when it comes to food, you know, and how they look and what they wear and all those kinds of things, there is a connection to lifelong struggles.
Oh, absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, as we get ready to end our time together today, we've talked about regrets, but what I'd like to hear, Jessica, is what did your parents do right?
Oh my gosh. I think that my parents did a great job at creating community in the family and creating bonds between us. I don't know if that was intentional or if that was just luck of the draw, but like my mom said, us girls are so close with each other. Like us siblings have such a deep connection and just such an enjoyment for one another. And I'm not sure if that...
That's beautiful.
Where that came from, or if that was an intentional thing you did, or if that just happened because you got lucky. But I think that they did a great job of creating a family that we all wanted very much to be a part of, and that other people wanted to be a part of too. Like, they always allowed our home to be a home that was open for friends. Like, we could have people over, you know, within reason, within limits, but everyone in high school loved coming to my house. You know, I know the twins' friends felt the same way too.
Sure.
Like, our house was a house that people gathered at because it was always warm and comfortable and inviting, and there was always food. And we know that where there's food, there are kids. And so I just think that they created an environment, a unit that we all took a lot of pride in. And now as we're older and some of us siblings have our own families, or even the, you know, those of us that don't, how we've created community with friends, that's all based off of what had been modeled to us or created for us by our parents.
And that means so much to me, because that wasn't by accident. I mean, I'm so grateful that it turned out that way. But that's what I wanted before I ever even started a family, was I knew that I wanted to have a home that felt welcoming, that felt secure for my kids, that they always felt a sense of belonging.
And that's beautiful.
So thank you, Jess.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
Super good. Well, ladies, thank you for your vulnerability, being with us today and sharing. I think it's going to be really encouraging for our community. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.